one that eased pain and put her body to sleep. Not that he wanted her to sleep. It seemed to him that he'd been waiting forever for her to wake. But he'd rather she slept than be in pain. The next time she woke, the room was dark. Not completely, but there was no sunlight shining through the window. The only light in the room was coming from the fireplace. It was weak and cast shadows everywhere. Recalling the pain that had assailed her shortly after waking the last time, she didn't sit up or move anything but her eyes at first. She remained still and simply peered around at what she could see of the room. A bedside table to her right held a goblet and an unlit candle. She could see a shuttered window beyond it. That made up the left side of the room. But directly across from the foot of the bed, a table and two chairs were positioned before the fireplace. On the other side of the bed was an empty bedside table. Two large chests against the wall and a chair next to the bed. The chair was empty this time, she noted. Her husband wasn't there, and she found herself disappointed by his absence. She would have liked to ask him questions. Things like, where was she? What was her name? What was his name? Although she realized suddenly she had got some answers the last time she'd woken. She suspected she must be in Scotland. At least her husband appeared to be Scottish. He wore Scottish dress, the traditional plaid that had shown off his legs quite nicely. He'd also definitely had a Scottish accent, as had the maid who had entered the room the last time she'd woken up. So, she must have married a Scot and now lived in Scotland. She didn't think she was Scottish herself. Her own accent when she'd spoken had sounded English to her ear, and even her thoughts had an English accent to them, rather than Scottish. Other than that, the maid had called her Jetta, she remembered suddenly, and was surprised she recalled it considering the pain that had been assaulting her at the time.
Jetta,
she murmured aloud and grimaced at how scratchy her voice was. Her throat and mouth were terribly dry. Recalling a goblet on the bedside table, she glanced to it now and bit her lip. Had sitting up been what had triggered the pain the last time? If she sat up to see if there was anything in the goblet and to take a sip if there was, would she again be assaulted by the pain? The possibility was enough to keep her prone for a moment or two longer, but then her thirst made her take the risk. She rolled to her side and reached for the goblet to lift it to see if it held anything first, though there was no use risking that pain for nothing. Finding the goblet heavy with liquid, Jetta set her mouth determinedly and struggled upright, swinging her legs to the floor as she did so that she sat on the side of the bed. Surprisingly, it was more of an effort than she'd expected. She didn't recall sitting up to be this much work the first time, but then she'd been distressed at the time, so perhaps that had aided her efforts to get upright. Sighing, she reached for the drink, and then paused as she spotted the figure in the shadows on the floor. For a moment fear leapt into her heart, but then she recognized her husband's scarred face and relaxed. A small smile tipped the corners of her mouth. What a sweet man. She'd been disappointed that he wasn't there before, but now realized he was sleeping on a pallet on the floor to ensure he didn't disturb her rest. The action was so thoughtful and kind. Swallowing a sudden lump in her throat, she reached for the goblet once more, this time picking it up. Jetta realized just how pathetically weak she was when she nearly dropped it. If she hadn't added her second hand to the effort, it would have slipped from her fingers. Holding it two-handed like a child, she lifted it to her lips and drank from the cup. It was apple cider, room temperature but sweet and rich, and she gulped it eagerly down, too eagerly and too quickly. Jetta knew that the moment her stomach began to roil. For a moment she thought she was going to heave it all back up. But she sat completely still and held her breath as she waited, and the sensation finally passed. Letting her breath out on a little relieved sigh, Jetta set the cup back on the table and then peered at her husband, as it occurred to her that she didn't know his name. That was another question she would like answered, although that might be a bit awkward.
"Excuse me, husband, could you tell me your name?"
Jetta grimaced at the thought of it and then finally tore her gaze from him and glanced around the room again. There appeared to be food on the table, and she thought she should probably eat, but her upset tummy wasn't encouraging any kind of hunger. Besides, just the little bit she'd done so far was already tiring her, and she wasn't at all sure she could make it to the table and back. She should probably lie down and go back to sleep, Jetta thought, but her gaze slid back to her husband. He should really be in the bed with her, and she was incredibly touched that he had taken on such discomfort on her behalf. The man didn't even have any furs to cover him. He just rolled himself up in his plaid, for heaven's sake. She glanced to the coverings on the bed and frowned when she noted that there was only one fur on the bed itself. After a hesitation, she grabbed her pillow and dropped it on the pallet next to her husband's head, and then slid down to join him, dragging the fur from the bed with her. Careful not to jostle him too much, Jetta managed to curl up into his side and cover them both with the fur from the bed. She'd barely managed the feat when her husband grumbled sleepily and rolled onto his side behind her, his arm wrapping around her as if to prevent her shifting about any more. Jetta waited for some comment on what she'd done, but when nothing came except his deep breathing, she released the breath she'd been holding on a little sigh and drifted off to sleep. Ollie shifted sleepily and cuddled into the warm furs as morning light dragged him toward consciousness. But when the furs murmured and moved under his hand and arm, he opened his eyes with some confusion and found himself peering at the wee lass he'd pulled from the water. Ollie froze and simply stared. He lay on his side on the pallet with Jetta on her back next to him. And under him, he noted, as he became aware that he had one leg cast over both of hers, and his arm was resting on her stomach while his hand was quite happily cupping one of her breasts. His fingers curved over it with a possessiveness and familiarity it had no right to. Even as Ollie thought that, his fingers unconsciously tightened slightly, squeezing the soft flesh. Wee Jetta moaned and moved restlessly under the caress, but he hardly noticed. His attention was on the fact that his hand was the only covering her breast enjoyed. The front of the overlarge shift Mavis had supplied to replace his shirt was wide open, almost to her waist, leaving one breast covered by his hand and the other simply bare. Ollie eyed the bare breast, and thought he had never seen anything quite so perfect as that globe. God had been more than generous when it came to fashioning Jetta's bosoms. They were full and rounded, and her nipples were a deep cinnamon colour, and presently puckered with excitement, he realised, and quickly pulled his hand away.
"Husband?"
Jetta murmured sleepily. Aye. Holly growled, and when she smiled tremulously and put her arms around him, hugging him tightly, he closed his arms around her in return and hugged back. But when they eased apart, he couldn't resist kissing her. He meant to just brush his lips over hers, but after first stilling in surprise, Jetta started to kiss him back and the plan changed. Holly instead deepened the kiss, his tongue sliding between her lips to delve inside. He tasted apple cider and smiled against her mouth as she kissed him clumsily back. It seemed obvious that Jetta had no idea what she was doing, but she was making a good effort, emulating his every action. She was even squeezing his muscled chest as he wished to do to her breast. And while he was hardening against her hip, she was pushing herself up into the leg covering her lower body. Growling in his throat, Ollie shifted his leg to urge her legs apart so that his knee could rest between her thighs. He then pressed it against the very core of her. She responded with a gasp of pleasure, her hand clutching at his shoulders now and her effort to emulate his kiss spiraling down into simply sucking on his tongue as he thrust it in and out of her mouth. Her excitement was like fire to tinder, and Ollie had just covered her breast again, this time to caress and squeeze it when he heard the bedroom door open. Ollie! Recognizing Rory's voice, Ollie stiffened and then moved quickly, dragging the fur up to cover Jetta on the floor, even as he pulled away from her and leapt to his feet. "Hey!" he said, his voice gruff as he bent quickly to scoop up Jetta, furs and all. "Straightening," he growled. "I think she fell out of bed." That was the only thing that made sense to him. How else had she wound up on the pallet with him? "Fell out of..." Rory began with surprise.
"Nay, I did not fall, husband."
Jetta interrupted, peering up earnestly at Ollie.
"When I saw you were there on the floor without even a fur to cover you, I joined you to share the fur from the bed."
"Oh." Ollie stared at her, nonplussed, and then turned to set her on the bed. "You're awake." Rory crossed the room to peer at Jetta as Ollie straightened. "Well, you've more colour this morning. That's good." Ollie glanced to Jetta and noticed that she did indeed have more colour in her face. He couldn't tell if it was a result of their passion or embarrassment at the interruption. Either way, her cheeks were quite pink, he noted before she shyly ducked her head. "You drank all of your cider," Rory said next. Ollie glanced at the empty mug just as his brother set it back on the table. "And you were able to keep it down?" Rory asked next.
"Aye,"
Jetta said in a shy whisper, and then cleared her throat and admitted,
"I feared I might not for a moment, but then my stomach settled and I was able to keep it down."
"That's a good sign," Rory said and leaned forward to press an ear to her chest. When Jetta stiffened in shock and sent a wide-eyed look his way, Ollie managed a reassuring smile. "He's just listening to your heart, lass," he explained, and then noted the frown on his brother's face and asked with concern, "What is it?" "Her heart is racing," Rory muttered, straightening to look at her face again, eyebrows rising when she flushed a bright red. Turning slowly, Rory peered at Ollie with suspicion.
"I'm sure you're entering without knocking, merely startled her,"
Ollie muttered, avoiding his gaze.
"Aye, I'm sure,"
Rory said dryly, and then turned to offer a gentle smile to Jetta. "Do you remember anything today? Your name or where you come from?"
"I... my name is Jetta,"
she answered. Ollie gave a start, surprised that the name he'd given her was the same as her true name. But then she admitted, I heard the maid call me that yesterday.
Ah, Rory said solemnly. So you do not remember anything ere waking up here the first time? She shook her head apologetically.
Do you think I will? Remember things, I mean.
Rory hesitated, but then apparently decided that honesty was the best policy. In this instance, at least. I do no ken, lass. You took some terrible damage to the back of your head. In truth, I'm surprised you survived at all. And apparently with all of your faculties intact, other than your memory. That made him frown, and he asked, Are all your faculties intact?
I think so.
Jetta said slowly and then shrugged helplessly.
How would I know if they were not?
Rory smiled faintly. Well, is your vision blurry at all?
Nay,
she said at once, appearing relieved to be able to say it. What about smell or taste? When you drank the cider, did...
It smelled and tasted fine to me,
she said. And your speech does no seem impeded at all, he pointed out. So I would say your memory is the only thing that was affected by the injury.
Aye,
she agreed, but looked dissatisfied and said,
I know I should be grateful for that, but there is so much I do not remember. For instance, how did I injure my head?
Rory turned to glance at Olle, obviously leaving it to him, and he cleared his throat and said, Shipwreck. Jetta blinked at the words.
I hit my head in a shipwreck? How?
Olle frowned at the question, but said, You were strapped to the mast. When the ship broke apart, ye and the mast you were on bobbed about on the water surface. You ended up banging your head repeatedly on it. At least, that was what he'd decided must have happened. It was the only thing that made sense. And unfortunately, they hadn't been able to find out anything else. His brothers had made discreet inquiries, but had not been able to find out the name of the ship that she'd been on. In fact, as far as they could tell, no ships had sunk during the whole week when she'd appeared.
And you saved me?
Holly blinked his thoughts away and glanced to her at that question. But it was Rory who said, Aye, Ollie and Alec cut you free of the mast and got you to shore.
Alec?
Jetta asked, her expression uncertain. Our youngest brother, Rory explained. Her eyes widened.
There are three of you.
Nine, Rory said, even as Ollie said, Eight.
Sorry.
Rory muttered and corrected himself. Eight. There used to be nine of us, eight brothers and one sister. But one of our brothers died some years back, so now there are only the eight of us.
Only eight?
She asked with mild amusement.
That seems a lot to me.
I suppose. Rory agreed with a smile and then asked lightly, So ye did not have a lot of brothers and sisters?
I...
Jetta frowned, her thoughts obviously turning inward as she tried to find the answer. Ollie watched, waiting to see if she would remember, but when she raised a hand and began to rub at her forehead as if it were paining her, he said, Let it go, lass. You'll remember it all soon enough.
Aye,
she said on a sigh, and then pointed out,
Or you could just tell me yourself and save me the effort of trying to remember.
Ollie stiffened, but was saved from having to respond by Rory, who said,
"'Tis better you remember on your own, lass. That way we'll ken 'tis a true memory and not just something you think you recall because you were told."
"Oh,"
Jetta murmured, and Ollie wasn't surprised to see the confusion the suggestion caused in her. Rory's attempt to save him from having to admit that he didn't have any of the answers she was seeking had been a little less than logical to his mind. Surely she'd know the difference between memories and stories, she'd been told. Shaking his head, Ollie whirled away from the bed, muttering,
"I'll fetch Mavis up to change her bed and help you bathe while I see to hunting up something for the sup."
"Oh, but I do not want you to leave."
That soft cry brought Ollie to a halt at the door. Turning slowly, he peered at her. Jetta's cheeks were still flushed, not as flushed as they had been directly after his kissing her, but flushed just the same. Her hair was a glorious disarray of black waves around her face that begged for attention. She was clutching the furs to her chest, hiding what he knew were bared breasts from view, and her expression was as forlorn as an abandoned bairn's. It was all enough to make him want to stride back to the bed, climb in with her and kiss that expression of her face. Unfortunately, he wasn't in the newly roused from sleep and not thinking straight stage he'd been in when he'd found her cuddled up to him on the pallet of furs earlier and begun to kiss her. Now he was wide awake, and so was his conscience. Jetta might be under the mistaken impression that they were husband and wife, and that kind of behaviour was perfectly acceptable. But he was more than aware that they weren't, and it wasn't. He had no right to kiss and touch her like that, no matter how much he wanted to. And he really, really wanted to. Hell, if Rory had arrived even a couple minutes later, Ollie very well might well have taken the lass right there on the floor. That being the case, he knew the best thing he could do now was to stay away from the temptation she offered, and let her heal in peace. Unfortunately, when Ollie opened his mouth to give some excuse as to why he could not remain with her, he instead found himself saying,
"I'll no be gone long. I'll return to break my fast with you after Mavis has seen to your bath and such."
Jetta didn't seem overly pleased with his response, and he suspected she was about to protest his leaving again. But she suddenly took a deep breath and forced herself to relax and nod.
"Very well. Thank you."
She sounded calm and composed, but Ollie noted the way her lip trembled before she bit on it. Frowning, he glanced to Rory in question, suspecting something was going on here he did not understand. Murmuring an excuse to Jetta, Rory stood and crossed the room to follow him out the door.
"What is?"
Ollie began, but Rory raised a hand to silence him and pulled the door closed. He then ushered him several feet away before speaking.
"She will be emotional, for the first little while,"
he said solemnly once they were out of earshot of the room.
"And you can expect her to be clingy."
"Clingy?" he asked with dismay. In the last 3 weeks that he'd watched over the woman in his bed, Ollie had found himself drifting into fantasies about what they would be doing if she were awake. Those had ranged from her running screaming from his room on first sight, to their enjoying a game of chess, having picnics by the loch and making love before a roaring fire. They had not included an emotional and clingy woman. "Her mind has betrayed her. She has no memory of anything to do with herself or her past," Rory pointed out. "She will naturally be feeling frightened, and want you, as the man she thinks to be her husband, to stick close."
"Aye,"
Ollie said slowly, starting to understand.
Mayhap I should send Alec and Geordie out again to ask around about a ship that may have sunk 3 weeks ago, so that we can at least find out her real name.
That might be a good idea, Rory agreed solemnly. Knowing her true name may help with her memory.
Aye,
Ollie murmured and then frowned as he considered the problem. His brothers would have to be careful again as they had the first time and not reveal her presence here, he thought, and then realized Rory was still talking. But right now, all she knows, and wrongly so, is that you're her husband. Whether she admits it or not, even to herself, she will be anxious and needy. We must be patient with her, and make her feel safe and secure. That is why I suggested you not correct her about you not being her husband. She needs things that will comfort her right now, and believing she is at home and has a loving and caring husband will be more comforting than her thinking she is weak, alone, and without her memory among strangers.
Ah, Ollie murmured, relaxing a bit.
Once she has regained some strength and some confidence in herself and her ability to cope, we can explain that you're no her husband, Rory assured him. By then, she will ken we have no plans to harm her and she is safe with us.
Ollie nodded.
I trust you'll remember that you're not her husband, though, Rory added quietly.
Of course, Ollie growled, scowling at him. She is under my protection. I'll no take advantage of that.
I am glad to hear it, Rory said with a nod, but then added, because when I came in, it looked like you might be. When Ollie merely stared at him, not deigning to respond to his comment, he said, it looked like you were kissing her. And more, brother. And when you set her in the bed, her cheeks were flushed, her heart pounding like a drum, and I could tell the gown Mavis put her in was wide open under that fur she was clutching to her chest.
"'Tis none of your business, Rory,'
Ollie said coldly. Rory hesitated and then straightened his shoulders and said, "'Aye, 'tis. She's my patient.' And, judging by her speech and the quality of the gown she wore, or what was left of it, he added dryly, she is a lady. If you ruin her, you'll have to marry her, Ollie. I'll no let you take advantage of the poor lass in her state and treat her like she was naught but some light skirt. She thinks you're her husband. Ollie just stared at Rory, the words reverberating through his head. If you ruin her, you will have to marry her. For some reason, they didn't hold the horror Rory seemed to expect they would. And that scared the hell out of him. Chapter 3 Jetta shifted impatiently where she sat up in bed, and glanced around the room again. Shortly after her husband and his brother had left, they'd returned carrying a tub and had been followed by Mavis carrying two pails of water. The men had quickly left after depositing the tub, only to return several times with more water. Once the men had filled the tub to Mavis's satisfaction, the old woman had shooed them from the room and then had helped Jetta from the bed, urged her out of the ridiculously large gown she was wearing and ushered her into the water. Leaving her there to wash up, Mavis had turned her attention to stripping the bed and then making it up with fresh linens before returning to Jetta. Mavis was a very efficient woman. She'd helped Jetta with the bath, washing her back and her hair for her, tisking over the yellow bruising covering her body, and then chattering away about this and that and nothing at all as she'd helped her dry off and dress in yet another over-large shift before tucking her back into bed. Jetta peered down at the gown she wore and gave a depressed sigh. Mavis had said she'd lost a good deal of weight while ill, and the shift proved that out. Truly, it hung on her something awful. It made her worry what her dresses would look like on her. If they gaped at the chest as her shifted, they would be positively indecent, she supposed, and thought perhaps she should ask for a needle and thread and start to work now on taking in the gowns. Her gaze slid to the chests along the wall at that thought, and she was just wondering which was hers when the bedroom door opened and Ollie entered, carrying a tray with food on it. Jetta brightened at once at his arrival and smiled in greeting.
"All done with hunting?"
she asked as she watched him set the tray on the table by the fire.
"Aye, we brought back a fine fat rabbit, a couple of pheasants and a deer,"
he announced as he crossed to the bed. "Rory is cleaning them as we speak, and Mavis is planning a venison stew for the sup. In the meantime, she sent you some other offerings. Are you hungry?"
Oh!
Jetta gasped with surprise and grabbed for his shoulders when he suddenly bent to scoop her up into his arms.
"Roa hacks,"
he chided as he carried her to the table.
"I'll no drop ye."
"Aye."
Jetta breathed and forced herself to settle in his arms. He was her husband, after all. He could carry her around if he liked. She even began to enjoy being in his arms again. But then they reached the table and he set her in one of the chairs.
"Thank you,"
she murmured as he straightened, and then flushed and tugged at the neckline of her shift when she saw how much skin it was exposing. It sagged so low that the tops of her nipples were on display, which merely reminded her of his kissing and caressing her that morning, and flustered her even more. Trying to make the material cover her more decently, she glanced toward her husband to be sure he hadn't noticed. But, of course, he had. And, judging from his expression, he was recalling that morning as well. Swallowing nervously, Jetta licked her suddenly dry lips and shyly lowered her eyes. Unfortunately, her gaze landed squarely on the front of his plaid, which was poking out in front like some sort of queer sideways tent. She stared at it blankly, until he suddenly shifted and dropped to sit across from her.
"Food,"
Ollie said firmly, but his voice was husky and he was avoiding looking at her now, she noted. Jetta peered at the tray he'd carried in and her mouth promptly dropped open.
"Dear God, husband."
"What?"
he asked with concern.
Well, just look at how much food you brought,"
she said with dismay. Relaxing, he began to remove items from the tray and set them before her.
"You need to eat well to regain your strength."
"Aye, but goodness, 'tis no wonder my gowns are so big if this is how I ate ere hitting my head."
By her reckoning, there was enough food on the tray to feed 10 people, and he was placing most of it before her.
"Your gowns?"
he asked with a frown.
"Aye."
She raised a hand self-consciously to her neckline again and grimaced.
"I must have been much bigger ere the injury."
For some reason, that caught a short, deep laugh to slip from his lips. And she eyed him uncertainly, not sure what the joke was. Catching her confusion, he explained,
"That is no your shift, lass. Mavis was kind enough to loan it to you. The dress you were wearing was ruined in the storm. I at first put you in one of my shirts, but Mavis thought you'd do better in one of her shifts instead."
"Oh,"
Jetta said with relief, and then frowned.
"But where are my gowns, then?"
she asked, and then answered herself before he could.
"Oh, of course. They must have gone down with the ship."
"Aye," Ollie muttered.
"So,
Jetta sighed, closing her eyes.
I've lost not only my memory, but all of my clothes too.
The touch of his hand on hers brought her eyes open.
Never fear. We'll get you new gowns, he said, squeezing her hand gently.
Thank you, husband.
Jetta said with a crooked smile, and then found she had to fight a sudden bout of tears at his kindness. Blinking rapidly, she tried to force the tears back and then dashed them impatiently away when her efforts failed.
Are you all right?
Holly asked, his eyes narrowing on her.
I'm just...
She shook her head irritably.
I appear to be overly emotional. Every kindness makes me want to weep. 'Tis ridiculous.
You're mending from a terrible injury, Jetta. Be patient with yourself. Rory said ye would be emotional for a bit. 'Twill pass.
Jetta was relieved by his words, for truly she had nearly burst into tears at least 3 times while Mavis was helping her earlier, and she found it all just a bit overwhelming. Jetta was quite sure she wasn't normally such a weeping willow. Forcing herself to take a deep breath, she calmed herself and then managed a half-smile and considered the food set out before her, but then shook her head.
I cannot possibly eat all of this.
I do not expect you to, he said with amusement. I just was no sure what you would feel like eating or might be able to stomach after so long without food. So brought you a selection to choose from.
Oh.
She breathed, and felt her eyes flood again at the considerate action. Much to her relief, Ollie ignored her emotional response and merely suggested,
Mayhap you should start with the soup. Your stomach may not be up to anything too heavy just yet.
Aye.
Jetta dashed away her tears again with one hand while pulling the soup nearer with the other. They ate in silence at first, Jetta concentrating on her soup and Ollie gobbling up almost everything else. Good Lord, she'd thought it enough food for 10, but it wouldn't even have fed 2 Ollies, she thought with amusement. The man had a huge appetite.
Stop watching me and eat your soup,
Ollie ordered suddenly, and Jetta realized she had stopped eating to gape at him. Grinning, she turned her attention back to her soup, but then shook her head.
I cannot eat another spoonful. I am done.
You need to eat more than that, lass, Ollie said with a frown. You're far too skinny and need to build your strength back up.
Jetta hunched her shoulders a little self-consciously. She had gasped aloud when Mavis had helped her out of her borrowed sleeping gown to get in the bath, and she'd first seen herself naked. Truly, other than her breasts, she was all bones and tightly stretched skin. It hadn't looked very attractive and had made her wonder what had moved Ollie to kiss her the way he had that morning. She'd decided then that theirs must be a love match, for she was sure only love could move someone to want to kiss and caress her as he had when she looked like a walking skeleton.
Mayhap you'll feel like having something else later,
Ollie said solemnly when she simply stared at the remains of her cooling soup. She'd managed almost half of it, but just couldn't stomach any more. Smiling with relief, she lifted her head and nodded.
Mayhap.
Ollie eyed her for a minute and then began to set the remains of their meal back on the tray.
Would you like to play chess or something then? Or would you rather rest?
Chess, please.
Jetta said at once and began to help him clear the food from the table. Within moments, they had finished the task. Ollie then retrieved a finely carved chess game from one of the chests against the wall, and they took a moment to set it up on the table.
"'Tis beautiful,"
Jetta murmured, pausing to examine a knight. The horse's head was so detailed it almost looked real.
Aye.
Ollie said in a soft rumble, examining his own knight.
My brother, Ewan, carved them 10 years ago as a gift to my parents.
Ewan?
She asked curiously.
Is he here, too?
Nay.
Ollie set the horse's head on the board.
He is dead.
He was the 8th brother, and the reason there were only 7 when there were 8.
She murmured, remembering what he and Rory had said earlier.
Aye. But actually, Ewan was the 2nd brother, not the 8th.
Ollie corrected her.
He was my twin, born right after me.
Really?
She asked curiously.
Then you were close?
Close as 2 brothers can be,
he said solemnly. Jetta hesitated but then asked,
How did he die?
In battle.
His voice was low, and there was something in his expression that told her that talking about Ewan still pained him terribly. Letting that topic go, she asked,
So, you are the older twin, and Laird?
Ollie nodded and continued to set out pieces.
Oh.
Jetta glanced toward the window, but all she could see were trees. Turning her gaze back to her husband, she watched him, and then cleared her throat and said tentatively,
Husband?
Aye?
He said absently.
Where exactly are we?
She asked apologetically. Ollie jerked a blank gaze up to hers. Grimacing, she pointed out.
I do not remember anything. Not even which castle I am lady of.
Buchanan.
The word was almost a growl.
I am clan chief and Laird Buchanan.
Clearing his throat, he added,
However, that is no where we are at the moment. We're in my hunting lodge. I brought you here after we fished you out of the water to heal.
Jetta nodded. She supposed that explained why it was so quiet here. Which, when she thought about it, was probably why he'd brought her here to heal. Castles were rarely quiet.
Buchanan.
She breathed and turned her attention to setting out the rest of her own pieces as she murmured,
Jetta Buchanan. Lady Jetta Buchanan. Lady Buchanan.
Finishing with her pieces, she raised her head and paused when she saw that Ollie hadn't returned to arranging his own pieces, but was just staring at her.
Is there something amiss, my lord husband?
She asked uncertainly. He opened his mouth, hesitated, and then closed his mouth again and returned to setting up his men with a shake of the head.
Nay, the board is set. Your move first, lass.
Nodding, Jetta surveyed the board and then picked up one of her pawns and moved it.
You ken how to play,
Ollie commented after they'd both made several moves.
Aye.
She smiled at him with a combination of pride and relief.
Apparently, I have not forgotten everything.
She watched him move his bishop, moved her knight, and then asked,
What is your sister like?
Ollie glanced to her with surprise.
Sid.
Is that her name?
Jetta asked.
Aye.
He watched her move her knight again and contemplated the board as he asked,
Why do you ask?
Jetta shrugged.
I find it hard to imagine having so many brothers and suspect she was either spoiled rotten by the lot of you, or...
She paused briefly to raise her eyebrows when he burst out laughing.
It would definitely be the ore, lass.
He assured her with amusement.
Sid is no spoiled.
Nay.
She asked with a smile.
Nay.
Ollie said firmly.
She's a fighter. She had to be to survive the lot of us harassing her through the years.
Jetta smiled at the affection she heard in his voice and asked,
How old is she?
I was 11 when she was born.
Ollie announced.
She's 22 or 3 now.
So a year or two younger than me?
Jetta murmured, and then froze and lifted a shocked face to him.
I remember my age.
Ollie's eyes widened.
Do you remember your birthday?
Jetta paused to think, scanning her mind briefly. It had to be in there somewhere. She knew it. If she remembered her age, her birthday had to be in her memory too. If she could just...
Lass,
Ollie said solemnly. Jetta lifted her head and looked at him with confusion.
I? What?
You're rubbing your forehead. Is it starting to pain you?
He asked quietly. Jetta frowned. Actually, her head was pounding. It had come on suddenly and was quickly getting worse. But she really wanted to remember. Ollie watched Jetta closely, noting the deepening lines of pain on her face as she tried to recall the date of her birth. He was about to insist she stop trying when she suddenly swayed in her seat. He leapt up just in time to catch her as she started to fall out of the chair. Mouth tight, he carried her to the bed, laid her in it and then moved to the door and opened it to bellow for Rory. What's happened? His brother asked a moment later as he stepped off the stairs and hurried toward him.
She remembered how old she is,
Ollie announced, turning back into the room and leading the way to the bed.
But then she tried to remember her birthday and...
Ollie shook his head as they reached the bed.
The effort seemed to bring on terrible pain and then she just collapsed.
Rory bent to lift Jetta's eyelids and checked her eyes. He then leaned his head down to listen to her heart. How was she prior to that?
Good,
Ollie said.
She was sitting up in bed when I came in. I carried her to the table. She ate almost half a bowl of soup. We started to play chess and then...
He shrugged. How did she remember how old she is?
Rory asked, straightening next to him. I dinna ken, he said with a frown. She was asking about Sid, asked how old she was. I told her she was about 22 or 23, and she said, so a year or two younger than me, and then she got excited that she remembered, and I asked if she knew her birthday, and...
He gestured to her unconscious form. Pursing his lips, Rory turned back to Jetta and murmured, So the memory came naturally, almost as a side thought.
A side thought?
Ollie asked, raising his eyebrows. I mean, she wasn't trying to remember. It just came out when she thought of Sid's age. Some part of her automatically compared it to her own age, and the memory naturally cropped up to allow it. He explained, and then added, But when she deliberately set out to try and remember something else, her head started to hurt, and she fainted.
Aye,
Ollie said thoughtfully, and then added,
She was trying to remember things when pain struck her the first time, as well.
Hmm. Rory frowned and shook his head. She may be awake and walking about now, Ollie, but her mind must still be healing. 'Tis the only explanation I can think of for the pain her trying to force memories brings on. Expression, solemn, he added. She could do herself great damage trying to force the memories before her mind is completely healed.
So you're thinking 'tis like walking too soon on a leg that was broken and has no completely mended? He suggested. She could just damage it all over again.
Aye, exactly like that, Rory said with a sigh. You need to tell her to just let it come naturally, and no try to force the memories to return.
Ollie snorted at the suggestion. Would ye stop trying to remember were ye in her situation?
Nay, he admitted with a grimace and considered the problem briefly. Finally, Rory shook his head. I dinna ken what you can do, but do whatever you can to keep her from trying to force the memories. Maybe distract her or something any time she tries. Otherwise, I shall have to start feeding her sleeping draughts to send her back to sleep every time she wakens. In fact, mayhap I should just do that anyway. We have no idea how much damage she does every time she tries to force it. I will go get...
Nay. Ollie said at once, not happy with the thought of keeping the women drugged and sleeping. When Rory turned to him in question, Ollie said,
I will try distracting her first. If that does no work, then you can resort to the sleeping draughts. But let me try first.
Rory frowned, but then nodded. Very well. But if you can no distract her, send for me and I'll mix her up a sleeping draught.
Ollie grunted agreement and watched him leave the room before turning to look down at Jetta. Judging by her expression, the pain had followed her into unconsciousness. But he was determined it would be the last time it plagued her. Jetta opened her eyes and then let them flutter closed again when bright sunlight pierced the woolly sleepiness she'd been enjoying. Goodness, it was bright in the room, which meant it must be twice as bright outside. A warm, sunny day, then, she thought. There were few enough of those where she came from. Most days either started rainy or quickly became rainy where she grew up in northern England.
Oh!
Jetta gasped, her eyes popping open again with surprise.
Are you all right, lass?
Turning her head, she stared blankly at her husband for a moment, and then smiled widely and blurted,
I just remembered. I grew up in northern England.
His eyes widened slightly at the news, but she hardly noticed. Jetta was already frowning and trying to remember where in northern England.
Lass,
Ollie said.
Aye?
She asked absently, still searching for more memories.
Are you hungry? He asked. Can you eat some more soup, if I have some brought up?
Did she know the names of any of the castles? Or villages in northern England, perhaps? She asked herself.
Jetta?
That would be a start, she decided. She would make a list of all the villages and castles in northern England that she could think of. If she could think of any. At the moment, nothing was... Her thoughts died abruptly when Ollie suddenly kissed her. One moment she was lying there with her eyes closed, trying to think, and the next his mouth closed warm and firm over hers, completely washing away every thought in her head. For a moment Jetta was so startled that she didn't respond to the caress. But then, as her earlier passion stirred in her once again, she opened to him and kissed him eagerly back. The moment she did, Ollie broke the kiss and smiled crookedly at her.
Do you want some soup, lass?
Aye,
she breathed, although frankly Jetta suspected she would have said yes to anything he asked at that moment. All she really wanted was for him to keep kissing her. Unfortunately, the moment she said yes, he straightened away from her and walked to the door. Mavis or Rory must have been out in the hall for some reason, because rather than leave the room or shout an order,
She heard him murmuring to someone. Sighing, she closed her eyes briefly, and then opened them again just as quickly.
"Northern England,"
Jetta murmured, recalling what she'd been thinking about before he'd kissed her. She knew her age, and she knew she'd grown up in Northern England, somewhere it rained a lot. Her memories were coming back. Slowly and in bits and pieces, but still they were returning. That had to be a good thing, didn't it?
"Do you want to sit at the table to eat?"
Jetta opened her eyes at the question and saw that Ollie had finished giving his instructions and was now crossing back to the bed. She glanced to the table and sat up with a nod, but barely got the furs and linen tossed aside before he was there scooping her up into his arms. Jetta didn't struggle, but merely settled into his hold and wrapped her own arms around his neck, as she admitted.
"I like it when you carry me."
"Do you?"
he asked with amusement.
"Mm-hmm,"
Jetta murmured, leaning up slightly to press a kiss to his chin.
"It makes me feel small and cared for."
"You are small and cared for," he said gruffly.
"Aye,"
she agreed.
"Mavis told me that you're the one who repeatedly spooned broth down my throat to keep me from starving to death while I slept. She said she offered to do it for you, but you insisted on doing it yourself, and only gave up the task to her when you had castle business to tend to, and could not do it yourself. She said the times that happened would not even equal all the fingers on her hand."
She pressed another kiss to his chin and whispered,
"Thank you."
"You're welcome,"
he said, his voice a low husky growl that sent shivers down her back. When he paused then, she glanced around to see that they'd reached the table. Knowing he was about to set her down, she gave him a quick, hard hug and whispered,
"I think I must be the luckiest wife in the world, having you to husband."
Releasing him then, she leaned back and added,
"And I bet I fell in love with you the moment I saw your handsome face."
Jetta felt him stiffen, and tipped her head to eye him with curiosity.
"What?"
"Are you mocking me, lass?"
he growled, spearing her with his eyes.
"Mocking you?"
she asked with confusion.
"I ken I am no a handsome man,"
Ollie said grimly.
"I was at one time, but no any more. Not since the battle where Ewan was killed and where I gained the scar on me face."
Jetta shifted her gaze to his scar, and saw her husband flinch as he realized she was looking at it. Ollie was incredibly stiff now, as if awaiting a blow, and it made her wonder if they had never had this discussion before. Had she never reassured him that his scar did not detract from his attractiveness in her eyes? Truly, had she been that stupid ere the wound that took her memory?
"I do not know what you see when you look at your reflection, husband,"
she said solemnly.
"But I see a handsome man. In fact, I like the scar. It keeps you from looking too pretty, and makes it appear that you have a bit of a devil in you."
"You think I look like the devil?"
he asked stiffly, completely taking her words the wrong way. Frowning, Jetta caught his face in her hands and turned him until his eyes were straight onto hers, and then she said firmly,
"Not the devil. A bit of a devil. It makes you look a little dangerous, like a Viking come to raid and pillage, or a bandit looking to rob and rape, or a warrior come to kidnap and have his way with me."
Much to her relief, her words seemed to amuse him somewhat, for he smiled suddenly and commented,
There appears to be a theme in there, lass.
Aye. Well...
Jetta hesitated.
But then decided, if her husband did not realize she found him attractive, she had failed as a wife and...